There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk about the potential U.S. trade wars that have been in the news for the last three, four, 5 days. And very pleased to have on the line from Abu Dhabi, Danny Seabright, who's president of the U.S.-UAE Business Council. Very good morning to you, Danny.
Good morning, Malcolm. Glad to be with you this morning.
No, listen, thanks very much for joining us. The background, as we think we know it, Donald Trump in his presidential election campaign promised to make America great again, bring jobs back to the U.S. He feels that previous presidents have given America's foreign trading partners over-friendly trading terms. He's pulled out of the Pacific Rim trade talk blocks. He's in the middle of negotiations on trade with Canada and Mexico. He's now chosen to talk about slapping 25% on steel imports into the U.S. and 10% on aluminium. How accurate is that summary?
Well, I think it's very accurate, and it gets to the base of what Donald Trump promised his base voters he would do when he came into office. And I truly believe that he's trying to make good on a campaign promise here to reach out to workers in Ohio, Pennsylvania, what we call the steel belt, the rust belt, if you will, in the United States, the rust belt that goes all the way out to the Midwest, and try to restore jobs to some of these workers that have lost them over the last two decades. It's very much political. It's very much domestic politics in the U.S. The ramifications and implications for our relationships in a globalized world and with global trade relationships are, of course, enormous.
I mean, do you think Donald Trump is just firing a ranging shot here and sort of creating a bargaining chip maybe for the NAFTA talks even, which are going on at the moment, but will he inevitably roll back his demands?
This is our president's modus operandi, if you will, and with all of his Twitter and tweet activity, he's always putting out these sorts of far-range shots and seeing what the reaction is. As you know, the formal notification for these tariffs and quotas is not supposed to happen until later or the end of the week in Washington. What he did last week was just sort of to put out, as we would say in the Defense Department, the warning shot of what he intends to do. And now the reactions are coming in, not just from around the world, but obviously very importantly in the United States from senators. The talk shows this morning, or I should say Sunday morning in Washington, D.C., this was one of the main topics. And most of the commentators were Republican senators from his own party talking about how this would harm American workers in the long run, American taxpayers in the long run, because of what it would, how it would increase the price of goods and services in the long term.
You know, once you've put this into law, it's very difficult to roll it back once you've got the public reaction rolling in. He's been quite clever in the sense he's got the public reaction just by mentioning that he might do it. Is this his way, do you think, of actually gauging what the world thinks?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it is. I was with David Cameron and with Nicolas Sarkozy this weekend at a small summit that Abu Dhabi hosted, the Abu Dhabi Ideas Weekend with the Aspen Institute at New York University. And this was one of the main topics of conversation. And world leaders, former world leaders, current world leaders, Theresa May has responded. Prime Minister Trudeau has responded. He's put the shot out there to get the reaction and see what it is and see how strong it is, and see where he might negotiate between his base political views and what he can accomplish in answering those concerns in the United States, so with the world.
Do you think it's then fairly up in the air whether or not Donald Trump will actually sign steel and aluminium tariffs off this week?
I do not think he will sign something. He will put something forward. I think the question is, will there be any exemptions or exceptions? Will some countries face the wrath of this, like China, more so than others? I'm fairly certain that something will come forward, but what it is could still be moderated, could still be changed.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, like everybody else, there are lots of questions that even you won't have an angle on yet, such as how wide-ranging this initiative could be. I mean, for instance, the UAE exports nails to the U.S. We want to know whether the finished products are going to be included, or is it just raw steel and aluminium? Will the countries hit by the ban only be those with which Donald Trump perceives trade injustices? I know it's early days yet, but what are you hearing from your contacts in the U.S. about how wide-ranging this is going to be?
Well, on steel, for example, let's just talk about the UAE for a quick second. On steel, the UAE is 290,000 tons out of 32 million tons of steel imports into the U.S. that are on the list. So it's a very, very small percentage. Now, for the UAE economy, that obviously is important and it means something. But in the big scheme of things, it's a small percentage, and there could be exceptions there. There could be lower tariffs there. On aluminum, the UAE imports an aluminum product into the U.S. that is only made by one smelter in our country, and it's the most high-end aluminum made by Emirates Global Aluminum around the world. It's the most high-end aluminum that goes in our aircraft and our fighter aircraft, and it's very, very critical to our national security. And in fact, the U.S. Defense Department has already weighed in and said, wait a second, we need this. We don't have enough capacity in the United States, especially on this very high-end product. So I think there's still a lot of wiggle room and negotiating room on this going forward. And I think that's one reason why we haven't seen the UAE come out with an official reaction, because I think folks are trying to take their time, let's see how it all rolls out.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen various reactions from around the world. The Europeans have been mumbling about Levi jeans and Harley Davidson motorbikes. China has warned that it doesn't want a trade war with the US, but won't sit by if its economy is hurt. I mean, given the amount of indignant reaction from the US's trading partners, who say that the US will be most hurt by a trade war. I mean, even Republican politicians have come out and said that they don't want this. Who do you think will be most hurt? Will it be the trading partners or the U.S. itself? I mean, you're a trade person. What are your views?
Well, of course, this is a paradox. American consumers and American workers are going to be hurt far more by this, in my opinion, and in my review of the situation, and in my discussions with experts, than will be than others around the world. I mean, there will be reaction, there will be countervailing effort, if you will, and we have a lot more to lose in this in the long term than we have to gain. We're protecting a couple hundred thousand workers, which is important. Don't get me wrong. In comparison to in an inflationary period, raising the prices on goods and services that will affect workers from all sorts of industries, from car to manufacturing, consumer goods, and will impact our economy in an inflationary way, most likely.
Well, listen, Danny, great to have you back on the show. Thanks very much indeed for talking to us. Danny Seabright, President of the US-UAE Business Council. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care and all the best, Malcolm.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.